Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. About 2 years ago, God introduced me to what he called the beyond. He actually just said beyond, and beyond kept ringing, kept coming crossing my mind, right? Even as I'm seated here, I'm reminded of it 2 years ago at the height of attacks from the enemy. Now, I have had numerous attacks. I don't know about you, but even now, I am under attack right now. Just had a granola bar from a place here in Kenya called Java, a place that God has already warned me not to be eating from there. But for some reason, I didn't think that that included their merchandised products. One of them is granola. They sell granola through the supermarket chains, the major supermarket chains, and in their shops as well. But I didn't go to their shops. Maybe that's why I didn't remember this instruction that God had given me not to eat from Java. But man, I loved their granola. And even as I was buying the granola bar, I thought, it's cheaper than the bag of granola. Let me try it out. I was like, let me just try out the bar. Wow, guys, this is a time where you cannot miss the voice of God. This is a time in, on the planet where you cannot miss the voice of God. And missing the voice of God is tantamount to death. Tantamount to death, because all I did was buy a granola bar. And the demons used it to almost choke me to death. That bar, I didn't even eat the whole bar. You should see the amount I used. I literally just sprinkled it on top of my oatmeal. You know how you'd sprinkle? I should go live with this. You know how you'd sprinkle some icing sugar or, just dusting really, or just dust your loaf of bread with some flour. Literally, I just sprinkled a bit of it. Just almost literally for effect, or just a bit of taste. But I really didn't use even up to half a teaspoon. It wasn't even half a teaspoon. It was probably a third, yeah. But my goodness. And some of these places are already dedicated to Illuminati. I talk about Illuminati a lot because, I went to a church that was Illuminati. That was literally a temple of Satan, which Jesus talks about. These things are not shocking because Jesus talks about it to the church of Pergamum and Laodicea. All these churches, there's a temple of Satan or a synagogue of Satan. There's those things, something like that mentioned. And when you're blasting or saying that a church is, a house of the devil, we look at it like it's so shocking. But Jesus even addressed some of those places that were quote-unquote churches. Quote unquote churches, and just to tell you how powerful this message is, I get a call. I never get phone calls. I'm getting a call just to interrupt this. Actually, let me read it because some of you might not know this, but Jesus already called some places that were posing as churches, synagogues of Satan. And now, not only do we have synagogues of Satan, we even have enterprises that are set up for demonic purposes, to drive the works of Satan. But anyway, that's not why I came here. I came to tell you, or I'm doing this audio to tell you about the beyond. Beyond is beyond the affliction, beyond the, you know, beyond being blind for so long, being blinded. There is a place beyond. And that place is where the soul yearns for. This morning I was reminded of, it's now 12, it's just a little past midday, it's about 20 minutes past midday, 12:19 actually, to be precise. And I was reminded in the morning when I was in the shower, or going to the bathroom, that our souls are on a pilgrim. This is really about a pilgrim journey. Our souls are on a pilgrim. We are on a journey. We're on a journey. And it's not even so much us physically, because the body is deteriorating. But like Paul says, but the spirit grows stronger. And it depends, because for some people who are not working out their salvation with fear and trembling, or working out their soul salvation, it's really their soul salvation. We should be working out our soul salvation. And if we don't, even our soul will deteriorate as our body is deteriorating. So beyond is really just to capture the idea that as your soul is on a pilgrim, you will descend to ascend. Oh, boy, I feel that. You will descend. You will go down to get up, basically. I remember a preacher putting it this way. She's one of the prophetesses, or one of the people I used to follow. But I think she's since gotten compromised, because I don't feel led to follow her any longer. I haven't listened to her really. It's funny, I don't know how they do these things, you know, these false prophetesses and prophets, because some of them do have the gift of deliverance. Like they do have the gifts of healing, the gifts of, and the gifts are without, what does Jesus say? The gifts are without, is it revocation or something? Or rejecting, without repentance. Like God will give you a gift. Even when you go to the other side, you still have it. I remember this prophetess, before I go back to beyond, she actually would deliver people, but for some reason. Oh, and the other day I prayed for, or rather I dreamt that one of the false prophets that I went to get delivered from another false preacher, pastor, teacher. In the Bible, they call them false teachers. So one of them that I went to, the false prophet, I didn't know he was a false prophet, but I just dreamt that I got out of a cage, that he caged me. Like when you go there for prayer, it seems like they have delivered you, but it's like this reverse what they've done. I don't know how to put it. It's like the devil knows that they still belong to him. So even though they've prayed for you, it's like the demons come back double. And it's so sad, because you're going to a church for help from another force. I know what they do also. These witches and warlocks and all these demonic, satanic people, they lead you. They actually lead you, manipulate you to another false church from the one you went to. So you'll never be free, because in fact you get your second place or position, your latter, is worse than your former state. after prayers from a man of God, you know, and you're like, what happened? So anyway, I was talking about Mati. Okay, I already said her name. I wasn't gonna say it. So Mati Nataj. She said, and you know, I have to credit it to her because she's the one that said it. It's not me. Though I think she's false right now. So, you can say what you want, but I think she's compromised to some extent right now as we speak. I don't know how or when she got compromised, but she taught me a lot. Funny enough, like these people, you can still credit some good to them, but you know what? God works in mysterious ways. Because the same place you get wounded and done in and jacked up and stirred up and wound up, you still get a blessing. It's funny. I mean, because I know the thing that I got even from these other prophets that I'm telling you about, he taught me something. Like there was substance, but it doesn't last. It's like chaff. It's like what the book of Jude says. Is it Jude or Peter? It's like clouds without rain. Like at the sum total of it, the effect is null. It's a zero sum. You know, like you join the, when you sum up the positives, then you bring the negatives in, and the end of it is zero, because they took from you pretty much more than what you gained. You're not even able to apply what you gained because they still took out from you. And what they took away from you is even more important. It's your destiny. It was your star. Your very ability to live for God. Because your star or your destiny is about doing the things of God. It's about doing the work of God. It's about doing what God brought you to earth to accomplish. And the funny thing is that I have been wondering how to preach this message about false prophets and prophetesses and false teachers. I read on this audio, Jesus led me to read the minor prophets, and almost all of them talk about false teachers and false prophets, those who have led others into idolatry because they told the rulers that it was okay, that what they were doing was fine. Which brings me to this point. Right now, I'm currently in this country of Kenya. And you know what? That's probably what is happening. The church has been bought. Like the church has been bought. You don't have a church now that has much of a voice against vices or corruption or even speaks out boldly against them. You know, we had great leaders, King Reverend Njoya, but now it's like the voices have been squashed or muzzled, and there's rampant idolatry. And I mean rampant. It's like the entire nation has been sold into slavery, into demonic slavery. And what the minor prophets were talking about was really that woe unto you. Every other sentence was woe, 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 because it's judgment. And judgment begins with the internal framework, the core elements of a society, which is the leaders, political leaders, the rulers, the priests. And in our modern day, it's the presidents, the chief justice. Yeah. Because that would be like the scribe of the day, the high priest, you know, the leaders of churches. You know what? God is up to something, because these people will be judged harshly. Because they are the representation of the whole nation. And if they fail as rulers, we fail as a nation. Deliverance comes from the leadership. Where is it? Somebody was saying that, if it starts with the leaders, then the whole nation can be saved. But when you try to begin to purge from the citizenry, it's harder. It's harder down up than up down. Up down is easier because if you look at the rulership of King Jehoshaphat, the whole nation of Israel was purged. Was it Jeho was it I think it was Judah, because they'd already split. Judah was purged because of the leader's righteousness. Oh my goodness. But because of the sins of the ruler Ahab, he led the whole, even God says Jezebel led and Ahab, because he didn't do anything about it. He didn't even try to control it. Jezebel led, and of course she was a queen, she led Israel into idolatry. So now we have a problem, but anyway, the false prophets and preachers, the massive idea behind them is that they want to keep you from fulfilling your destiny. Oh, I feel the presence of God on that one. Because everybody on this earth has destiny. You see, we didn't just drop. I was talking to a young man the other day. Oh God, and he said to me that he doesn't believe in the creation story of Adam and Eve, that he's the most scientific historical. I said, okay. Like, he doesn't believe that Jesus, I mean, Adam and Eve were created. Yeah, well, sadly, that is a good percentage of the people right now. The young people just don't, unlike my generation, which is probably a millennial, and pre-mills, we grew up, church was mandatory. You had to go to church on Sunday. In fact, if you wanted to fight on Sunday morning, is when you act like you don't want to go. In fact, there was no room for not going to church. It was not an option for me anyway. Look at this. Church in Pergamum. I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and committing sexual sin. I know I've read this before. Then church in Thyatira. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman. This is Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. And before that, I read Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. So Revelation 2, 20. But I have this complaint against you. You're permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. Now, here's what I wanted to talk about. You know why they commit sexual sin and offer and eat food offered to idols is because of this verse 24. But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed the false teaching NLT puts in brackets, deeper truths as they call them, depths of Satan actually. This is the reason why. The Adam and Eve story is so important because Eve was promised a deeper truth. Deeper truth. I'll come back to Revelation. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, right? Because Eve wasn't just tempted. Her belief system was shaken. It's actually Genesis 3. You won't die. This is verse 4. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. Now we know this. Okay, so the serpent appears to the woman in the garden. This is Eve. Her husband Adam is there. But the serpent refers or has this conversation with Eve. And she says that it's only the fruit, in verse 3, it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. For her, not allowed to eat was not allowed to eat. Period. Okay? And her authority was God and her husband. So he said, God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. That's what she says. God said to her was absolute. If God said, God said, period. Right? Now listen to what the serpent says. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open. Of course, this is Satan who entered the serpent, manifested himself in the serpent, talks through the serpent, tells her that God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it. And in fact, he's saying God deceived you. And yet he's the one that's deceiving her. He's saying God is a liar. Or God didn't tell you the whole truth. Or he's not to be believed. He's not to be fully trusted. He says he knows that as soon as you eat it, you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Prior to that, Eve was like, God said. As long as God said, then you do what God said. Right? And the instructions of God should be followed. But this is the devil at work every time, is to challenge the authority of God in your life. And to act like it's not absolute. Like God needs help in ruling. Like he's not the absolute power. And his truth is not, it's like he's cheating you of something. And yet that's not true. God was, if anything, was protecting Adam and Eve. He's protecting them because he wanted to have time with, he wanted to have eternity with them. He wanted to spend the whole of their lifetime. He wanted them to enjoy his presence. Oof. Which is something else God told me this morning. The presence of God. The peace of God. And the power of God is all you need. The presence of God is what gives you peace. The peace of God is all you need. And doing the will of God is your source of fulfillment and, yes, power. It is only through obedience that you obtain power. You obtain power from obedience, because even those who disobey God and still have the power that he gave them at first, you know what? They obtained the gifts of God through obedience. Okay? But then when they fell back, they still have the gift, but its overall effect Like I said, the sum total is null and void. It is empty. It is a sum total of emptiness. Because it does not achieve the purposes of God as it was initially intended to. So in Revelation 24, they were seeking the deeper truths. You know, Satan knows what you want. He knows you want wealth, or you're looking for recognition, or you're seeking power. At the end of the day, Satan knows what you're craving, what their heart's intent is, or intention. And that's why it says that the heart of a man is desperately wicked. And yet we should invite God to search it. David said, "Search me, O Lord. Try me. See within me if there's anything that is not pleasing to you. Try my thoughts. Try my heart. And what? Purify me. Search me, O Lord. Know my heart and get rid of anything that is not pure. Let the thoughts, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you." That's the prayer, because, man, we are wicked. Let me tell you, don't let anybody lie to you. You are wicked. Some people's hearts are wicked. And even if you don't want to be, we are wicked. Humans are mean. They're bad. They're nasty. Nobody is exempt. It says that everybody has fallen short in Romans. For all have fallen short. I believe it's 8:1. Romans 8:1. All have fallen short. All have sinned. It says that our righteousness in Isaiah is like filthy rags. Oof. Filthy. Filthy. You know what filthy rags was? It's actually the rags used for menstrual period. When ladies were on menstruation that time, there were no pads. They'd use rags. Filthy rags. So even calling yourself righteous is not. Only God can make you clean. That's why I posted earlier, this song keeps coming to me. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. It's Clean by, I don't know who the artist is, but she's very, very popular. I'm sure I have posted it on this audio, on this podcast. Clean. Only God can make you clean. The bridge, the lyrics are, "Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood ran red and made me white. Made me white. How did we become white? Through the blood of Jesus." So anybody that doesn't accept Christ, I feel sorry for them. Because they're going straight to hell. And you can see why God would say they'll go to hell. Because there's nothing else that permits you into God's clean presence, holy presence, except the cleaning power of the blood of Jesus. And that is the only thing that gives a way or access to God. To God the Father. You cannot approach the presence of God any other way. Especially not for eternity, where you'll constantly live in front of Him with your dirt. So it says, "Your blood ran red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood ran red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean." So people go out seeking deeper truths. And guess where they wind up? And because you want the deeper truths, the depths of Satan. The depths of Satan is a deeper truth. So you think you're getting deeper truths, you know, because you were not told everything by God. God has hidden some things from you. So now Satan is one that will reveal them to you, which is all lies, because it is granted for the sons of God to search out the meaning of the hidden things. You can Google all these things I'm mentioning in the scriptures. You can Google it. Even the one on David, I don't have all the references in front of me. I'm sorry, guys. But I'm using my phone and I don't have internet. But I will put up the scriptures once I get them on the description. So, you know, Satan wants you to think you cannot access God's deeper truths. And yet God has told you that as a child, not as a rebel, as a child of God, you have access to those truths that you think you don't. I mean, if there's anything you want to do, I mean, there's anything you want to find out, find it out through God. He's the master of all knowledge. He's the all-knowing. How can the all-knowing God not know something that exists in the universe, in all eternity? He's the one that was the creator of Satan. So how he created all things, including Satan. So how is it that he doesn't know? And now Satan is the one that is going to tell you or teach you something, anything that God doesn't know. You see the lie? So Satan tells Eve there's something she, you know what, like, you, God didn't tell you the whole truth. No, God was protecting her. She wasn't ready. And when she's ready to know everything that she needs to know, God would reveal it to her. God would reveal it to her if she asks. She just needed to ask. So God, tell me about this. You know, today Satan came over and he was telling me about this and this and that. God, is there anything I should know? No, I mean, really? Maybe she just needed to say, God, I had a visit from the devil. Is there anything I should know? It is for the sons of God. You see, the things of God are mysterious. They are mysteries. They are hidden. A lot of things that we see are the fallacy. In fact, the sin is the lie. Most the truth and what is really solid is the unseen. The unseen realm is more real, is real compared to what you see. What you see, the Bible says, will be wrapped up like a scroll. The heavens will be wrapped up like a scroll. The earth will dissolve. In other words, all the substances of the earth that we call solid, metal, gold, those ones are the ones that will disappear. Literally, they are perishable. That's what God, the book of Colossians, I believe, talks about the perishable and the imperishable. That as Christians, we should be pursuing the imperishable, not the perishable. And Satan will always present to you the perishable because he's the God of the earth, the God of the world. Even to Jesus himself, he presented the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus has control over the kingdom of the heavens. The kingdom of heaven. And that's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things shall be added. Because the kingdom of the earth is subject to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven rules every other kingdom. Because the kingdom of heaven is ruled by Jesus, who is seated far above every ruler, every principality, every other king. Every means every. There are no exceptions. whether it is a principality of light or a principality of darkness, he is in control of everything. So even presenting the kingdoms of the world to Jesus, though he hadn't yet died and ascended to heaven, in God's terms, the death had happened because God is not limited to a timeline. Even from the foundations of the earth, Jesus had already died because God is not limited to a timeline, a BC and a AD, no. So even at the point of temptation, though in the capsule of the earth realm, Jesus had not yet died, in heavenly terms, he was already dead and resurrected and was still king. His position was still intact. But now, he's seated as a ruler of all rulers, king of all kings. He's above every principality, every throne, every rulership. And that is scripture. You can Google it, but I'll find it and I'll put it up. So, when anybody presents to you some deeper truths, ask yourself, what doesn't God know that he wouldn't show me? And you know what? I'll tell you the truth. Honestly, the truths of God don't come cheap. You gotta seek him. You have to seek him and you have to spend time with him. And some people just don't have the time to spend with God. They've got time for TV and sitcoms and reality TV and building their own kingdom and making their own earthly things work. But they don't have time for their creator. And so when the enemy comes with this proposition, they go with it, not knowing that the enemy will charge them. And here is the taxation. This is the type of tax that Satan imputes or charges. He will demand worship. And that's how you end up with Revelation 2:20. I have this complaint. Jesus is complaining against this church, Thyatira, that you are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself up. Now remember, Jezebel is a spirit. It's a spirit, the spirit of Jezebel. And Jezebel is a human being. But there's a spirit that manifests itself through these traits. It leads servants of God astray. Note that it's the servants of God that it targets. Oof. Leads them astray and teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. What do you think sexual sin and eating food offered to idols is? It's devil worship. It's satanic worship. And he says, Jesus says, I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. And in verse 29, he continues to say, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Verse 28, above that says, they will have the same authority. All right, to them, where do I start? Let me start from verse 26. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. You see, so much for the devil's kingdoms of the earth, because Jesus is going to give us authority over all the nations. As long as we do what? Obey him to the very end. To the very end. And you know what? The devil knows the conditions of Jesus Christ. He knows the conditions of God is endurance to the end. And that's why he, through the spirits under him, and Jezebel's spirit is one of the demonic spirits, leads servants of God astray. And who is a servant of God? A servant of God is anybody who has been chosen to serve God. That's their destiny. They were chosen to serve God. And so he derails them so that they don't get to the finishing line at the time of their death. And we know such servants, many of them, who couldn't say, like Paul, sadly, they could not say that they had run the race and they had finished it well. And now their prize was waiting for them, because at the finishing line, they were completely undone, because the devil targeted them. So he says, Jesus' promise to us is that he will give authority. So if you're looking for power, here's the key. You want real power? Get the power that is beyond this world. If you're looking to have authority, get the authority that comes from Jesus. That is real authority, because his kingdom is the kingdom over all other kingdoms. Why settle for a lesser kingdom? For a lesser rulership? I mean, that is what you want, but God doesn't do that kind of shortcut. He looks for people who love him. So you still have to have a relationship with God, which brings me back to you still have got to know Jesus. You still need to be born again. It says, to those who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, and those who obey God are the ones who love him, obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over the nations. If you want to know the secret things of God, he gives you access through his son Jesus Christ to discover the treasures that he has for you. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Treasures forevermore, sorry. So, let us approach God's throne with our heart to know him. We will find grace and mercy at the throne of God. Not anywhere else. It's at the throne of God, at the mercy seat. In the presence of God, all things are revealed. They become clear. Your ultimate fulfillment is from serving God, is from doing his will. And that's your destiny, to obey God. Obedience to God will automatically lead you to your destiny. Hey. So, just wanted to top up a little bit of information, as the Spirit of God has reminded me. I was just watching a video on YouTube, and two things have been prompted to talk about. Number one is that the enemy will get some of you really busy, really busy. And I reflect on some people have been really anointed, but guess what? They've got to work. They have to take their kids to school. They have to do all these things to survive, right? And sometimes that robs you of time with God. And I mean, God doesn't like to be cheated. You got to make time for him as well. Now, I'm not a mother, I'm not married, I don't know what it's like, but the thing that I've seen constantly working against Christianity and Christians in pursuing the things of God is they're too busy for God. And you have to get to a point where you decide to shut down your world or make arrangements to make time for God, regardless of whatever else you have to do. Okay? That's one. Number two is that the thing that happened because of the future. Okay, so, you know, we go through all this kind of stuff. There's a trauma, there's a good and the bad, the ugly. It's all combined, and that's life. Life is, as one of my bosses used to say, madhodhanyo. Life is a mess. It's madhodhanyo. Madhodhanyo is a term in a dialect called Kikuyu that is just messy. It just means messy. Okay, so when you realize, oh God, that is life, it's not that what happened wasn't because of the future. This, what you're going through, has to happen because of the future, because of where you're going. You understand? The thing is, it's not, how do I put it? Because of the future, this has to happen. Not that this is happening so that it influences the future. It's the other way around. Your present is not influencing the future. Your present is influenced by your future. Now, how many of you thought it was the other way around? A lot of people actually think that this thing that is happening or happened is so that it can influence the future. No, the future has been decided. Even Jesus said it is written. For everybody, it is written. It wasn't just for Jesus. Everybody has a book in heaven about them that says what they should do, where they're headed in life, and what they're going to achieve. It is written. So whatever you're going through and have gone through is for the fulfillment of your prophecy. And remember, this is a series of beyond, trying to get beyond your mess, beyond the negative. Here is the positive. The positive is realizing all that junk was for the recycling because their product had already been decided. So you're not going to talk about, oh my gosh, the decisions I made were not right. I made a mistake. No, it was supposed to be. It's not in spite of, it's because of. You understand? You didn't have, it's not in spite of this that you made up. Okay, fine, let me put it in actual sense. It's not in spite of your being raped that you raised your children. It is because you are going to get to raise children that you got raped, which we don't quite understand. But that is God putting in you something through a negative event that is going to cause you to be even more productive for Him, because you're going to raise your kids differently. You understand? So it's not in spite of you getting fired that you built an empire. No, you built that empire because you were fired. Because of, not in spite of, because of. I remember years ago God teaching me this principle. It is not against all odds. You are going to succeed against all odds because you've already been succeeding against all odds. Whatever created you was in itself against all odds. Think about it. They say you're the sperm, that got to meet the ovum and created you was a winner in itself. So you're made up of winner material. So for Joseph, it is not in spite of him being a prisoner that he got to be was he the second in command, like the prime minister or something? Second in command. He became second in command because of him being a prisoner. You understand? So it's not about you going through the trenches and fighting. All my life I had to fight, you know, and I made it. No, you had to make it, and you will make it. And God has not said otherwise. So it is not for you to beat yourself up for nothing. No child of God, especially a child of God with the Spirit of God in them, has a mistake. There are no mistakes. Whatever happened, is a build-up as you keep renewing your vows with God. Every day working in tandem, even when you lose it, you don't lose it. You understand? What you don't have, you don't need. Okay, so it's an absolutely wonderful thing to know that God is in control and He's the one that's running the universe. But you know what? He still needs your cooperation. And when you're done recognizing some facts, some details about Him, like who He truly is, and He reveals Himself to you, He'll start to demand more, right? So to Him who much is given, much is expected. Those who don't know, right? And those who don't even care will probably never know, okay? But you who does know better, you expected to do better. Because you know better, you do better. And that's something that I think Oprah used to say, but you know what? It doesn't matter who said it, because the truth is that once you are, even when you don't know, the standard remains. The standard is higher because you know. The Lord Jesus explained this, that a person who's told something and begrudgingly goes and does it is better than the one who never goes. And even better, go and do something that God tells you to do happily. But you'd rather just do it, even begrudgingly. You'd rather just, man, it takes all the energy in you sometimes. It takes everything to obey God. It takes everything. Powerful men and women of God having to jeopardize the future of their families. The opportunity cost of following God over earning an income, monthly employment, being told to pick up your Bible, go preach on the street. You don't know what you're going to eat tomorrow. Families that have had to split because they don't believe the same thing. Wife believes this way. Capitalistic, probably she's materialistic, she's thinking about her kids' university. Husband is listening to God. God said, go preach. Jesus did not come for unity. He says in the word, He said He came to divide. So what God wanted me to tell you at this very moment is that your greatest pleasure, this happiness that we seek, all that matters is that you're happy. Well, guess what? What really matters is that you please God, because when you please God, you'll be happy because you're made in God's image. And if God is unhappy, you will not be happy. For whatever temporary comforts that you have to give up, to sacrifice, to make God happy, you better make them. Because if you don't, the long-term suffering will be much greater than the short-term pain. And your flesh hates obeying God. I'm telling you, there is no flesh, no carnal nature that abides with God's will. Even for those who say, you know me, I don't care about things like fasting because I can skip a meal, I can do whatever. Okay, but when it comes to that time when God has said, the flesh will rebel. They'll be like, all of a sudden I wanted to eat or something. Because the flesh is controlled by our human nature, and the human nature is fallen. We come wired on the negative, and it takes God to get you on His good side. He really, really wants you to be on His good side. So why am I talking about this under Beyond and Mapped for Service? It's because I had a dream once, and I was sort of like, you know, there's a word in the word, like a WARD word in hospital. There's a delivery room and there's a room where they take babies after they're delivered. It's like I was in a place where they take care of babies. Like
I know it wasn't my house. I don't know. It didn't feel like my house. And even how I placed the baby on top of this surface, it didn't look like a home kind of environment, right? So it's like I was changing the diaper of this baby, and a tall man came around to supervise me, like to check what I was doing. He wasn't my husband. It didn't feel like my husband. It didn't feel like my baby. So when I got up, God told me that my work was going to be to deliver destinies, to deliver destinies, because destinies are in the womb of heaven. Oof. Destinies are in, did you hear that? Destinies are in the womb of heaven, of heaven. So they gotta be birthed. Destinies are birthed. So you gotta push. And when there's at the very edge of your destiny, it seems like a life and death issue. It's like, because your version of life is what you know, but you don't know what God has for you on the other side. So it's like you jump off the cliff not knowing what's gonna happen. Are you gonna get caught by a branch? An offshoot of a branch of a tree from the cliff? Is there a helicopter that will snatch you? I mean, you don't know. You're at the edge of everything you've ever known. And that's where God's power comes in, birthed by your faith, your belief, your stay power, and your persistence, your endurance. When you hold on, service is not about you, service is about the kingdom of heaven. Now, God has blueprints for everything. He's a master creator, master architect. He has blueprints for everything. Everything is built in heaven and on earth according to his plans. According to his plans. You talk about strategy, God has strategy. God is a mastermind. And he has plans, and architectural plans is the way I saw it, because Jesus came to my room. I didn't see him, I perceived him. I didn't see him with my naked eye, but I perceived him. And he sat down and told me he had these plans, like an architectural drawing. And Angel Gabriel was seated opposite him, and he told me, "Caroline, we have blueprints for every industry, every sector in the world. There are plans." I mean, you think governments have plans? You think the UN has plans? You think the devil has plans? God has a plan for So I went walking the other day. Even a spider knows what to do instinctively. I went walking in a forest, and there's a spider had built a very intricate web. I mean, I wish I took a photo. And anyway, I'm not even online like on my video, but it was such an intricate web. And you know that thing? That way that the spider works, whether it has a brain or a mind, I don't know. But that's God. He's the one that created it to do all that. And we all know that the created cannot be superior to the creator. So God was just showing me, I have put in a mastermind in a spider that can create a web overnight. So intricate. It was layers upon layers upon layers of web. That thing looked like a dome. Like a man-made dome. It seemed almost solid. You guys know this, because even butterflies, when they're in the cocoon, when they're in the larva stage, they're in a cocoon, and it's so tightly wound. Yeah, that's where we get silk from, because you have a silkworm. And you cannot beat God's plans. And he said, "I need people to execute my plans. Because Jesus is not going to come back in person to do these things. There are plans in every industry. We're talking airline industry, automobile, transportation, logistics, hospitality, artists, movie and entertainment, learning, research, science, every industry is covered by God. And He needs His people led by the Spirit of God who understand His voice and His will, who it is His pleasure, it is their pleasure to serve Him. And it is His pleasure to use them because they understand Him, they trust Him, and He trusts them to execute. So, just by way of example, if I use the building industry, God needs foremen. He needs contractors. He needs people that will bring to life what they've seen in heaven. Remember that scripture. In the word of God, may your will be done on earth. It's even the Lord's prayer, what Jesus taught. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is so much to do on earth that is already documented and planned in heaven. So much to do. And there are layers upon layers upon layers of blueprints for different kinds of things. Serving is not about you. It's about the kingdom of God being manifested on the earth through you. So forget about the fame. Forget about being the superstar. You're not going to be the superstar. It's for God's glory. Even if He uses you, you must give Him glory. You still talk about it being about God. And I'm so relieved. This is, I think, one of the most important messages for what hashtag beyond is going to be about, because once you realize that there is a big picture and you have a role to play, it makes you feel useful. It makes you have purpose, but it will cost you. It will cost you your time, your friends, your belief system. Everything changes, literally. Everything. Now, if I'm led to come back and share in more detail what it means on different kinds of levels and just guiding you on how this will progress, because I'm also learning. As I learn, I teach. I teach as I learn. I'm not like way ahead of anybody. I don't think so. Maybe, but maybe not. So, God is just reminding me that He called me a guru. So fine, I'll be your guru for now. But the point is that even if this is all you get, this audio alone, just grab it and go. But if I'm led to go into more depths and details, then I will do so. But bye-bye for now. See you next time. Hello, hello. So I'm going to be talking about rights and privileges really quickly. So you have a right. When you enter into the kingdom of God as a child of God, you become an heir. An heirdom. An heir is somebody who has rights to inherit from the estate. So literally, since Jesus died,
Jesus was the Son of God. He was God. He is God. And out of his death, there was a will that he wrote. Okay? Now, this is not like a real will, but it's in the Word of God. But it's not like your typical will. But it is written in the Word of God what you get access to as a child of God. And just like a will stipulates who gets what, you have certain things that came with you as a child of God when you were born. You have certain treasures in heaven that are under your name. And you need to unlock them. So a treasure literally is something that is hidden. A treasure, you don't get gold sitting on the surface of the ground. You don't get diamonds just lying around. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of money, a lot of resources to mine and to extract and to refine and to process a treasure for it to be called treasure. It takes smelting, it takes refinement. And so God knows what he put in you. Even as I'm telling you this, I'm just amazed at how God works. He knows, because literally putting these words in my mouth, I didn't prepare. I don't normally prepare for anything. But I do have an idea what he wanted me to talk about, which is your rights and your privilege. Oh. You have a right to get what God has for you. And God loves aggression. I mean it. Not in a bad way. Not in a power-hungry way that we're used to seeing politicians and all these people who are go-getters in a negative, ambitious to the point where they are what the Bible refers to as selfish ambition, which is one of the traits and the characteristics that will take people to hell. Galatians 2:20. Selfish ambition is not of God. But God expects you to be interested in him and everything he has for you. Because everything he has for you is the very thing that will change the world. A lot of people want to change the world, but they do it the wrong way. They understand that this world is broken. They know that they're broken. But you rarely can heal yourself. Physicians don't heal themselves. Even physicians don't heal themselves. So what you need to do is you go to the physician. Now, when the physician fixes you, you're able to fix others. And the things, the impartations, the tools, the skills, the gifts of God are going to equip you to reach to somebody else who needs help. The boldness that God gives you, the undeserved favor, the positions, the places of power and responsibility, even the challenges are to help you to become a better person. Therefore, refinement, you'll be tested. That is part of the process, but also he will imbue you or bestow upon you certain garlands or, let's say, crowns or things that give you visibility. That is your power. That is your right after you've gone through the process. I'm telling you, this message almost is giving me it's almost giving me heart palpitations, because it's so important to understand that the worker, the laborer, is worthy of his dues, but you must be nurtured and developed to be worthy of your dues. And your dues are your right, but you earn it sometimes using the most grueling, painful experiences. And that's all part of your refinement. So once you're refined, you're now valuable, and people will pay a price for you.
God himself will gift you through people, because men will travel. Read about Solomon. I believe it's in 2 Kings. People traveled. The Queen of Sheba. Solomon got wealthy out of gifts from men. But guess what? He had a night encounter with God after he had sacrificed 1,000. I think it was 1,000 cattle or bullocks. 1,000. And then when you went to sleep, God said, okay, I'm going to answer your prayer because you asked for wisdom and not for wealth. I'm going to give you that as well. Yeah. Like, despite the fact that you didn't ask for wealth, I will give you wealth. And then after that encounter with God, after he had sacrificed, then God blessed him with wealth in the spiritual. And then in the natural, human beings with eyes and feet showed up with gifts of gold. Read about Queen Sheba alone gave him spices and all these things. And he got even timber. He got gifts upon gifts. That's how he was able to build a magnificent temple, which right now is a mosque, but it's covered in gold, pure gold. Guys, so we gotta begin with a place of a process, and it will be gruesome at the very least. And it's just part of what God said, that, you know, Jesus said that if you don't carry, you need to carry your cross. If you don't carry your cross and follow Jesus, then you're not worthy of him. Of him. So you cannot be associated with Jesus if you're not willing to pay a price. Basically, that's what he's saying. If you cannot come to him with humility and sacrifice, then you're not worthy of him, of being associated as an heir. So heirdom, quickly let me explain this. Heirdom means that you have earned your right. In the olden days, the king had to choose the successor. And the successor, a lot of the times, was the one who showed potential to handle wars, was knowledgeable, was efficient, understood how to handle resources, had been taught, was learned in the law, in the letters. You understand? And these people had to be strong, had to learn to endure, had to have wisdom. So Jesus has heirs. We're the heirs of God. You want an inheritance. You want your inheritance, obviously, but you gotta earn it. You have to earn it. And that inheritance is what will help you to help people. Because you cannot help people empty-handed. So the Spirit of God that lives in you through the death of Jesus Christ is able to help you to tap into the resources of heaven. You only tap into the resources of heaven when you connect with heaven. Our connection to heaven is God's Spirit. God's Spirit is given to us through the death of Jesus. When we accept Jesus, we accept him, and then we get baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you read the book of Acts, they got baptized with the Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues at the upper room, in the upper room in Acts 2. When the Spirit of God came, it looked like tongues of fire, little fires. And those tongues of fire were basically what connected them directly to heaven. That's when they were able to heal people. That's when the shadow of Peter was able to heal. That's when they were able to tell the man at the entrance of the temple, silver and gold we don't have, but arise up and walk. That was the connection that helped them to help people. So Solomon's gift of wisdom allowed him to help the women. Remember, there are these women who were bickering over, oh, she took my son, there were two prostitutes. And one had their baby lying next to them. The other one had lost their baby. But the other one had their baby still alive, laying next to them. And she says when she woke up, she found her baby was being suckled by this other woman whose baby had died. And then this lady put her dead baby next to her. You see how people, even up to now, exchange babies? Exchange the destinies of babies, but that's a totally different story. So now Solomon judged between them because they took their case straight to the king. And the king ruled and said, you know, if you want, you know what, just take a sword and let's divide the baby into two. And the mother was like, no, don't do that. And he was able to rule and say, okay, so she's the mother because she's the one that doesn't want the baby to be killed. Because the other one was like, yeah, that's fine by me. But the wisdom of Solomon came by the Spirit of God as well. So when the Spirit of God lives in you, you're able to do exploits. The children of God do exploits. We don't do ordinary, we do exploits. They that are called by God's name, they that are the children of God, they do exploits. And I'm going to share that verse. They that are the children of God do exploits. You don't just do average, because the power of God propels you into new dimensions, into exploits means beyond imagination. Like it's supernatural. It's like, how did you do that? People ask you, how did you do that? And for you, it's so effortless sometimes once you've paid your price. But while you're in the refiner's fire, while you're in the process, it's work. It is work and more work. It is literally like digging trenches that are unending. But one day that gives way to something else. So Solomon came before God and he said, you know what, I don't have anything, I don't know. And maybe that's why he fell so fast, because he really hadn't cultivated that relationship. But you will not lose it in Jesus' name. You don't miss it. You don't gain it to lose it. Now, exercising your rights is one thing, but you gotta remain in God's presence where you understand the privilege being an heir to the kingdom of God, the privilege of heirdom. Privilege is I cannot take this for granted. I cannot take this power, this responsibility, this status, because after you've done the work, the rewards will come. And you start to see people, they almost worship you, they look up to you. You have power to make someone's life or break it. You cannot lose that connection to God because of a little bit of success. You must still recognize that it's a privilege to be counted worthy to receive from God, to receive honor, to be part of His glory on earth by these accolades that you get from people. Don't take all that, don't let it get into your head, because it's a privilege. Someone else can get it instead of you. In other words, you're not the special one, you're not indispensable. Once you walk in the wrong direction, and that is Solomon's story, he went the wrong direction. He started to use, I don't know, women as his, I don't know whether that's how he got his stress to be dealt with, I don't know. But he started to use women, get women and more women and more women. Before you know it, these women are introducing him to their gods, and then he's breaking a law, because the law of Moses was, you do not marry outside of the people of Israel.
The Jewish people were already set apart. If you read the story of Abraham, Abraham had to be taken away from his people to begin a fresh nation, to start all over on his own. He said, I will make you a great nation. So Abraham was the nation. In within him, he had a whole nation that was going to come out of him. And that nation was supposed to remain intact and pure. And that is just the imagery of the Church of Christ, how we're supposed to remain pure, not mingling with other gods, other idols. Idolatry in the Old Testament is present day, what you'd call Satanism. It was still the same Satanism then. It's just that them, they had all this human-made wooden, even our African culture had them, those wooden, you know, sculptures or whatever that they bowed to worship. Idolatry was idolatry to God. Idolatry was literally going to sleep with somebody else. That is not your husband, and God is our husband. So when you go worshipping other gods, it is idolatry to God, because you are a idolatry, making your bed with somebody else, being intimate with other gods. So he cannot bless you like that, because now you're using what he gave you and giving credit to an idol, to a demon, basically. So if God is going to use you, he's going to give you a blessing so that he can use you. But now you've become a blessing to people, and then you've gone to serve other gods. You're taking all the credit, giving it to an idol, to a demon. So you cannot stray. Once you have it, you keep it. How do you keep it? You realize that you're in a privileged position. And you cherish and nurture your relationship with God, even after the blessing. Thank you, Jesus. So when I was in campus, I studied finance, right? And in finance, we were taught about shares and share options and rights issues. So there's something called a right issue. When a rights issue occurs, a shareholder has the option, or let me even say the privilege, of exercising their right, which is really an opportunity to take up more shares and increase their shareholding based on a certain trade value. Like they get to trade the share they have for another one of greater value. Okay? So unlike a new shareholder who wasn't previously an owner of the company, when this company has probably merged with another company, or they've just bought, like now, you know, when Facebook bought WhatsApp, you know, the shares went up, right? So the prices will go up, or they have to merge these two companies into one. And that means that the shareholders who were there previously have the opportunity to now own a company that is kind of new, because it has a greater power. It has more value because it has another company under its wing. And now they can actually get higher dividends based on their higher tradable value of their shares. So when you buy more shares, it could go two ways. Either the value could decrease, you know, because
Maybe the company shareholders are not so happy that, you know, you bought this company and not that other company. And maybe this company that has been bought isn't even doing as well. Or maybe they don't think it was just such a good idea. Or it could actually boost the overall bottom line of the new formed company. Okay. And that means that the share price will go up because the perceived value has increased. Okay. So now, when it comes to the kingdom of God, you don't lose value. There's never a lost value. I said in the a couple of audios before this one that your value is intact. You never make a mistake. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven recognizes who you should be. And even the events of your life are orchestrated to push you into your destiny. And that is a mysterious way that God works. Sometimes he will push you along certain lines that you think are negative, or according to the human perspective, it's a messed up life, or, you know, they just think you've lost your way, but you haven't. You've actually gained more value in God's eyes, not the world and not you. You don't think you've gained value, but you've gained more value through the hardships that you go through. And that is scripture that Paul even said that he counted it all joy. Counted it all joy for all the persecutions, everything he went through. Jesus said, do not see it as some strange thing when men revel against you. When you are persecuted, you actually gain. On the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of the kingdom. You will go through hardship. If it is for the sake of God's work being done here on earth, you will endure it and you'll be fine. Now, even stupid decisions can still be part of God's work. He can break down the potter's work because he's the potter and remold it, and your scars become testimonies. They become part of intellectual property. It becomes part of your copyright. You can patent it. In the spiritual realm, it is your story. It is your precious currency. Now, your right is exercisable. I just spoke about you having treasures in heaven. You can exercise your right by choosing to upgrade to a higher level of knowing God even more intimately. It means losing something to gain something of more value. It means you're trading, you are losing, you're exchanging, but even the loss is not really there because just a short-term loss, you're just exchanging really. And it doesn't even cost you money per se, it just costs you a mindset. You understand? The cost is a mindset. It means you're open to understand more. You're open to receive more from the kingdom of God. But you've got to exchange your old man, your old self, for a new self. And it's a constant renewal. That's why Romans 12:1 talks about renewing your mind. Renew your mind. So that you're not like ordinary, but that you're exceptional, that you test and know and see the goodness of God, that you test and see his good, perfect, and pleasing will. So it's an upgraded version of you. It's an upgraded version of you. So I hope that you're going to choose to exercise your right, because exercising your right in God is a very temporary loss. You'll feel different. At first, you're almost
a non-entity. It's almost like you've lost your identity. It's like nobody even recognizes you, because your worldly relevance seems so little, because they don't understand that your value is in heavenly terms. You stop chasing the things of the world and start to grasp the things of heaven. But it's a choice. Remember that I began by saying you have an option. It's an option. Now, if the company gives this option to its members, and as a child of God, if you're a born-again believer, then yes, you are a quote-unquote shareholder of the kingdom of heaven, because you're an heir. Now, if you're rightfully recognized heir of the kingdom of heaven, then you have a say in what happens. You're like a shareholder, pretty much. If you don't exercise your privilege to upgrade, guess what? Demons know it. Satan knows it. All principalities and powers of darkness know it. And they'll take advantage to drag you down. Because an exercised right leads to demotion. You get shortchanged. You get shortchanged because now whatever you had is of a lesser value. When everybody else was upgrading to a higher version, 2.0, they got a higher market price. They could sell for higher value. They opted in and they got more value. You are getting lesser value. And so your relevance starts to diminish. You start to diminish. Because even demons, they know that you're not exercising your power. That you're not taking up all that God has for you. You understand? When God presents you an option to know Him better, what He said was come up higher. When He invites you to come up to the mountain like He did Moses, then you go up to the mountain. Yes, it's lonely. Not very many members are in the inner circle of God. But you get to know more. And you get to have higher value. So I pray that you will exercise your right. As a child of God, you have more in store for you. More in store for you. More is in store for you to discover. But remember, it's all towards building the kingdom of God. And we build the kingdom of God because we love Him. We obey Him because we love Him. We want His affairs to be in order. Master. He is Master and Father. But He's still Master. So you want to do the right thing. So I pray that you will exercise your right for greater power, for the kingdom of heaven. And you'll be recognized in heaven, even if nobody on earth recognizes you. You will be recognized. So play by the book of God, not by the book of the world. Play by the book of God. You understand? Play by the book, the Bible. The book of God is full of promises. It's full of guidance, counsel, wisdom. Play by that book. Not by the book of the world, by the book of God. Bye-bye for now. See you in the next series or episode. The next series.